Hello and welcome to another episode of the Job Podcast featuring Nigel Jobe and Lorna Rutter. And these are 15-minute podcasts. We get big subjects and squeeze them into 15 minutes, and they are all to do with job seeking. So this is really for those people who are looking for a new position. You might be between jobs, or you might be in a job at the moment and you might be thinking it's time to move on. So my colleague Lorna, who's worked alongside me for many years, very experienced in this area as well. And today, Lorna, what are we going to be talking about for this particular episode?
So today's topic, Nigel, is to look at how people can research ahead of attending an interview to make sure they give themselves the best chance for a successful outcome.
Very good. Yeah, so it's really about preparing for an interview. So this will be where you know that at a certain point you've got an interview coming up, could be next week, could be tomorrow, whatever, and preferably got a little bit of time to do that preparation. But this is how to really optimise your opportunity with having that interview. And in fact, that's what most of these podcasts are about. If you listen through them, it is about really optimising your job search and making sure that you stand the best possible chance of getting the maximum number of opportunities that can really enable you to get that dream job. So when we were thinking about this subject earlier, Lorna, we talked about kind of getting yourself in the right headspace. So what does that mean in terms of the person getting themselves initially prepared?
When you're about to sort of embark on a job research process, then getting yourself into the right headspace just means that you're basically thinking about the opportunity, the company that you're going to be interviewing at, and how you want to approach your research to make sure that you're giving yourself the maximum chance of performing well. So being confident, motivated, knowing that you're going into that interview armed with good knowledge and good information to build a rapport with the interviewer, to think about what sort of questions that you might want to ask at interview, and just really just have that confidence and background knowledge so that you know you're going to perform at your best. So I know when we were just before we sort of pressed record, we were talking about this subject, and we generally try to put three key things that we might be able to share with our listeners, and I think we ended up with a list of about 10 or 15 things.
Which is going to be interesting to try and get it in with the 15 minutes, which is always our target. So, but yeah, getting yourself in that right headspace is about really kind of telling yourself you can do this. And I know sometimes people get a bit sceptical, perhaps, about, you know, the psychology of this. And, you know, they're worried that perhaps it might mean that they need to pretend to be somebody they're not. But we're obviously not encouraging that. But it is a really good thing to psych yourself up, tell yourself you probably wouldn't have got this interview if the employer didn't think you were a serious candidate, or the recruiter who's maybe working on behalf of the employer. So if they thought you were worthy of an interview, then you're worthy of an interview. So you could potentially get this job. So really start believing in yourself. In fact, I recall in the conversation I had on one of our sort of VIP podcasts with Chemi Orcott, and she said this thing about for those who haven't seen it, she's she was an Olympian skier and presents for the BBC, and she was saying there's nothing wrong in kind of channeling somebody you admire. You obviously don't try and pretend to be them, but you really give yourself, well, how would this person I admire go about doing this? Or how would somebody, one of my colleagues who I think is really good at this type of job, how would they go about this?
Fully recognised sort of coaching technique, Nigel, where you put yourself in the mindset of the person that you admire, or they've done it themselves before, and you think, well, what would they do? How would they approach this? And give yourself that kind of mental sort of goal to think, yeah, I can be like them and I can do it. And so getting yourself into the right headspace, see yourself at that interview, see the job being offered to you, see it being
yours. That's a very good point. At that end point, the visualization of the end point that you desire, because that gives you that enthusiasm, and that's what employers are looking for. Any type of role, really, they're looking for somebody who really wants to or is able to demonstrate that they really want the job. So and think about the employer then. So the research. So what structure would you suggest, Lorna, you know, when people are actually researching an employer? So I know if I've got an interview next week, I don't know, let's think of a really well-known company. Let's say Microsoft. So say I've got an interview with Microsoft next week. What do I do in order to actually research that properly?
I think your starting point would be the company website. So having a look at their careers page, what information are they sharing on there? Good employers will have information on what it's like to work for the company. So what's their culture? What's their approach? How, you know, is there any case studies from current employees that you can kind of watch or read about? So you can start to get a feel about what the company is like as an employer. You can also have a look on their news page. So what's going on with the company? What are they talking about? What's the main activities that are happening? But also in the wider news as well. So the company might not have released latest news articles, but actually if a company like Microsoft might have something going on in the news. So I think an interview, depending on the job role, it might be that, you know, bringing up information that you're aware of in the media could be quite useful for
provided one thing I would say, that's a really good piece of advice, provided it's positive. Yes. I have known people make the mistake of actually raising negative stuff that they found in the media. Until you've got that job, that's not really a terribly good idea, is it?
Yeah, I wouldn't challenge them on something that's negative during your interview.
No, exactly. until you know that they really want to hire you. So yeah, keep it positive. But that little bit of, that's a really good tip that Lorna's given there, because I think sometimes people go, you know, if I ask somebody, have you researched a company? And somebody says, well, yeah, I've looked at the website. Well, the website on its own is kind of, nowadays, it's kind of the basic level, because there's so much other information out there. You know, do think, as Lorna said, about the values, about, you know, where do they want to be? What's the, you know, and this doesn't just apply to senior people, but thinking, what does the CEO say about the organization? You know, what are their objectives? So what sort of people, consequently, are they like to be looking for? Then, of course, you've obviously got products. So if you're dealing with products or services, and even with an enormous company like Microsoft, you can say, oh, well, Microsoft produces, you know, Microsoft stuff. But in actual fact, if you're going for an interview, then you're likely to be going for an interview for a particular area, and there's going to be a particular product area or service area. It might be an internal service. You might be a finance person, you might be an accountant. So you then think about, how does that apply to Microsoft specifically? So I think
you
know, that research of the company is so critically important, isn't it, to demonstrate that enthusiasm.
And I think looking at other people that work for the company, do you know anybody for a start that works for the company that you could just tap into and ask questions about what it's like to work for the company? But also knowing who your interviewers are going to be. So it's typically you get given the interviewer's name and their job title, but actually what else can you learn about them? So looking them up on LinkedIn, sending a connection request, looking through their background and their history. Have you got anything that might, you know, tell you something that means that you can quickly build a rapport? Maybe they go skiing and you like skiing, or you might pick that up from their LinkedIn profile. So I know that worked for me when Nigel interviewed me many years ago. I just got back from skiing, and Nigel is a keen skier. So just being able to, I think we, in one of our last mini podcasts, we talked about building rapport. So having good research and knowing who your interviewers are, even if it's just their style of interviewing, you might be working through a recruiter and the recruiter might be able to give you feedback on how they approach interviews, what their style is, so that you're prepared and you can build a rapport with that interviewer very quickly during the interview.
I think that's a great tip, because I think, you know, researching the actual individuals that are going to be interviewing you, it's so easy now with LinkedIn, and the vast majority of people are on there. So yes, definitely a good suggestion there, Lorna. Now there's another area, of course, which sometimes is kind of intangible in a way, which is, you know, what questions are you going to be asked? So people kind of think, well, might be asked any kind of random question. And of course, some employers do ask random questions. I think on one of these previous podcasts, we talked about kind of crazy questions that some employers ask. We rather wish they didn't, but they do. You can't really hugely prepare for those, but there are ways. But for fundamentally, the most of the questions, they can be prepared for, can't they, Lorna, using the job description. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can talk the listener through how you use the job description to actually prepare for questions.
So the job description, if it's a good job description, should really should really sell the opportunity to you as the candidate or the potential employee. So in the job description, you should have a list of duties, but also a list of exciting things that you potentially are going to be doing as part of your role. And you can use that job description to frame questions that you may be asked. So, for instance, if there is question, I know if it's a finance role, for example, and you're expected to manage budgets of over 3 million, then you're able to frame a question that you might be asked and think about examples where you may have done that in your past career, how you've managed something, how you've managed a team, or so there's various things that you can do with the job description in order to create questions that you potentially may be asked. And you might not get asked all the questions that you come up with, but actually in preparation for that interview, then you know if you're going to be asked it, you've probably got a good solid answer to give. And I think you're also in a position to increase your confidence once again.
I was just going to say that. That kind of kicks back to the headspace piece, doesn't it? So if you know you've prepared well for anything in life, if you prepared well for it, it's going to give you a little bit extra confidence, make you feel better about what you're doing. So, and Lorna talks about examples there. There's a particular type of questioning. Many people will be familiar with it. It's called competency-based questioning. And what that's designed to do is to give real-world examples of something that relates to what the job is. So it normally starts off with, can you give me an example of? Some of these, you know, ways of questioning, again, they're not my ideal, but they are used, and so therefore it is a good thing to prepare for them. So if you go through the job description, just ask yourself, you know, how many of these things can I give an example of something I've done that's either the same or similar? And that will often enable you to be able to answer a question on it. If you're earlier in your career and you haven't got those specific examples, think about how you would.
That's what I was going to say. Coming up with, if it's not something you're that experienced in or you have no experience of, then putting forward an answer that tells somebody how you may approach it or what you've learned. So you might have learned something from somebody else that has done it, or you might have done some research and said, and tell the interviewer, I don't actually have experience of that, but I have actually researched into this area. And if I was to take this job opportunity, then I would approach it in this way. And that shows that you've really thought something through. And just because you don't have that experience, it doesn't mean that that means you're not going to be right for the job. And hopefully a company would be able to support you in training and development as well, if that was something that was really important for that job. So,
yeah. And then finally, one of the areas that we often coach people on is gaining commitment. So gain commitment, you can do that through the interview, can't you? But most particularly do it at the end. What do we mean about gaining commitment, Lorna?
So at the end of an interview, it really helps to kind of wrap it up and seal the deal by actually asking the interviewer how you've performed. You know, is there anything any questions that you've answered that you didn't answer fully, or they feel like that you need to express more on? And just really asking the question, and sometimes it can feel very awkward, but asking the question, is there any reason why you wouldn't invite me back for a second interview? And
yeah, exactly.
You've got nothing to lose.
Or you can word it really directly, which is, you know, how well suited do you think I am for this role? So it is a way of gaining commitment. You've made the effort to be there. You've spent the time doing your research. You've got every right to ask the employer how well they think you're suited. And if they've got any concerns or whatever, then they can raise those. Right, we're almost coming up to our 15 minutes, Lorna. It's amazing how quickly the time goes when it's such a big subject. So I hope listeners have enjoyed this and found some, you know, real key information. You know, fundamentally, it's about get yourself in the right headspace, do your research on the employer, prepare yourself for your questions, and then get some commitment at the end. And if you keep doing that, you will, you know, find that dream job, get where you need to get. So listen again, we hope. I've just gone over the 15 minutes, but I'm going to keep within that 15 minutes almost. So hope you've enjoyed this. You can find us on Facebook on Top Tips for Job Seekers. Also, same name on LinkedIn. And also, we have a site on Instagram called The Interview Specialist. So a lot of this information is all on there. And there'll be more of these podcasts. So hope you've enjoyed it and hope to see you. I hope to hear you listening to us once again. Thanks very much.